Good morning. It is good to be back with you after a couple weeks off. I spent part of my time off enjoying simply being alone in my house while my kids were at school. And then I did something a little crazy that I've never done before. I took a solo trip to the Dominican Republic. I was supposed to be there 4 nights, and it turned into 5 thanks to American Airlines. Now, it had been a really long time since I traveled out of the country. It's been over a decade. In fact, last time I traveled internationally, I traveled to Rwanda. And so I had forgotten what it felt like to be in a place where I stick out like a sore thumb, where it's a different culture, it's a different language, different skin tone than mine. I'm grateful I speak enough Spanish that I could, you know, get along, communicate the basics, especially after a few days once I got used to it a bit. I could even hold conversation with my Spanish language only taxi driver who drove me back to the hotel after my flight was canceled. Yeah. As you can imagine, I thought a lot about language while I was there, especially knowing that Pentecost was this Sunday. And I thought a lot about culture, because the two are intertwined, language and culture. Even when two countries speak the same language, there are differences. I know we have Canadians in the room who can testify to this. I mentioned when I got back to my kids' dual language Spanish teacher that I had traveled to the DR, and she said, "Oh, they speak really fast there. It's hard to understand them. In Bolivia, we speak slowly." And I mentioned to my cab driver I'd traveled to Peru, but that was a very different culture than the DR. In fact, the DR reminded me more of Rwanda than of Peru because of the tropical location. And of course, there's motos zooming around everywhere. And in the Caribbean, there's the impact of the slave trade. So their skin color is different in the Dominican than in Peru. There's this kind of direct connection between Africa and the Caribbean. So language overlapping with culture and history. Because why do they speak Spanish in the DR? The same reason we speak English here, colonialism. So the history of that area is intertwined with language. The most fascinating conversation I had in the DR was at that last day, that last extra special day, when I was back again at the airport, and the baggage line was twice as long, because now there were 2 flights back to Miami rather than 1. And I started up a conversation with the man in front of me in line. You know, are you going home, or are you going to the States to visit, right? I'm going home. Well, what brought you to the DR? He said, "I'm the rabbi of Sosua." Joel, you're going to love this story. Sosua is a town in the DR near where I stayed that has this fascinating history. Back in the 40s, they accepted several hundred Jewish refugees from Europe. When so many were turned away, they saved their lives. So Sosua still has this Jewish presence thanks to this history. And then here in line with me was the rabbi of Sosua. He was so interesting. But what stood out most to me was the confluence, again, of culture and language in the life of this rabbi and the people he tended to. He himself, Cuban-American, had lived multiple generations in Florida. Then there were the Jewish people in Sosua, the Dominican Republic. Some were originally German, Austrian, Polish language, now very proudly Dominican in their identity. So they speak Spanish with a German accent. But the rabbi told me that when they read Hebrew from their scrolls, they read it with a Polish accent. Fascinating. Just the layers of language and history and religion and culture just all intersecting here in the American Airlines check-in line in Puerto Plata and the rabbi of Sosua. That feels like the perfect entry point to Pentecost. Here we are, 50 days after Easter. The Holy Spirit arrives in rushing wind and fire, and there's an outpouring of language for the sake of the nations. This is the day when the good news goes forth to all nations under heaven. This is the day the curse of Babel is reversed, the promise of Sinai and the prophets of old is fulfilled, and the Spirit is poured out on all flesh, men and women alike, slave and free, young and old. When God speaks through God's people, he speaks not in one language, not in here's another couple tables of law for you at Pentecost, but in all languages, through his word and Spirit directly to those who hear, one and all. There are nations from the whole known world gathered here in Jerusalem for this Feast of Pentecost, celebrated 50 days after Passover. Again, Easter, Passover, Pentecost, Pentecost. Pentecost is also known as the Feast of Weeks. It's the celebration of God giving the law to Moses on Mount Sinai after Israel was freed from Egypt. It's a good reminder, God brings freedom so we can live lives of true freedom and worship, right? So, since this is the Feast of Weeks is a major feast, Jerusalem is crowded from Jewish pilgrims. Jewish faith had been scattered all over the known world after the exile, after being conquered and deported. There's the Roman colonies, etc. Again, language, history, culture. Jewish faith was now multicultural and multilingual around this world. So the nations listed, I'll tell you kind of the modern day equivalents so you can get a sense. The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, these are people groups from the modern region of Iran and Iraq. Mesopotamia, again, modern day Iraq, Kuwait, parts of Syria. Judea, that's Israel and Palestine nowadays. Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, see I got it wrong too, Pamphylia, all are regions in modern day Turkey. Egypt is Egypt. Libya, it's near the Greek island of Cyrene. Again, that's Libya. That means there are African nations here on the day of Pentecost too. Rome, modern-day Italy, modern-day Europe, including Italian converts to Judaism. Then Cretans, that's a Greek island. And then we have Arabs in Saudi Arabia and Jordan. So just think about all of the diversity in this city in this time. Lots of languages and dialects. Europeans, Middle Easterners, Arabs, Africans, all gathered here in this holy city. None of them expecting this. The disciples are gathered. They are waiting as Jesus told them. And then whoosh, here comes the Spirit. I bet it was loud. I was in my car this morning when it was pouring down rain. You know how loud that can get? Same kind of thing. It's loud, this entry of the Spirit. Here comes the Spirit, and they prophesy. They go out in the streets, each speaking a language not their own, by the power of the Spirit. People hear. They hear their language, but they don't immediately grasp the miracle. They're confused, amazed, and perplexed. Some, of course, scoff. This might be one of my favorite lines in the Bible, that they've had too much wine. It's so human. There will always be people who respond to what God is doing with cynicism and mocking instead of wonder. There will always be those people. But the Holy Spirit is unfazed, and Peter speaks. That is a miracle as great as that of these languages, that Peter speaks so coherently and gives a true interpretation of what's occurring. Right? He got it wrong so many times in Luke and John and the Gospels. And then here, whoa, this is a new guy speaking in the power of the Spirit, speaking the word of God. And he says, God's done what he promised. Today is the day. The old era is done. The new one is here. God has made this Jesus who you crucified both Lord and Messiah. So repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you too will receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. Join us in the age of the kingdom. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Acts 2:37 says the people who were listening were cut to the heart. They heard the Spirit cutting to the heart. Those who accept the message are baptized, over 3,000 of them. That's a preacher's favorite verse. The church has now been born. Just think about the fact that none of us here would be here today in this room worshiping Jesus in our native language if it were not for this event at Pentecost. None of us would have heard or responded to the good news if it weren't for the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out upon all the people on this day. What a marvelous thing that is. That God speaks to human beings not in one language, but in every language. That the God who created the universe, the God that is bigger than any of these languages, vaster than the heavens, beyond human comprehension, more complex than we can possibly take in, that God speaks to us in a way we can understand. God wants us to know him. This is an amazing thing. That God reveals himself to us within the very human confines of culture and language. That's all we got. We can't experience the world apart from that. God's bigger than that. He finds a way to speak into it, into our confines. That's part of why Scripture can feel difficult to us sometimes. Because the very Word of God is not some abstract universal principle, but it is embodied in specific cultures and languages that are often very different than our own. But the good news is that God speaks into our culture and language too. It's part of why I'm a firm believer that diversity is a gift from God to be embraced and not feared, is my sense that each culture and language reflects the image of God in some unique and important way. There's always things that work against it. There's always gifts in it. And I think you're aware of thinking about language and how God reveals himself. You're aware, I'm sure, of the difficulties of translation. Even just translating what is in my brain to you all in the same language is difficult. Some weeks more than others. But think about when you're trying to translate between language and cultures. There's things that can just only be approximated. In Greek, Greek has all sorts of little words that have to do with rhetoric, which I'm sure Bradley and Dr. Dana understand. And I'm like, another word for and? Sometimes you look something up and it says, untranslatable particle. I'm like, well, thank you. So translators face this difficult task of communicating the sense of the words while acknowledging there's not a one-to-one correspondence. So think about a word like peace, which we know is shalom in Hebrew. That is a word that is like a 5D word. And in English, it tends to just mean, well, no conflict. It gets kind of flattened out unless we explore it a bit. Anyway, I love language. I'm getting a little sidetracked. Each culture and language has both gifts and challenges when it comes to hearing the word of God clearly, but the Spirit is always doing the work of translating what God is up to into language we can understand. It is messy, but for those who submit themselves, who submit ourselves to the word and the Spirit, it is clear enough and effective. It can cut us too to the heart. It is life and light. So today we give thanks for the gift of the Spirit working in the Word and in the world. If you're looking for points, I guess this is one of them. We give thanks for the gift of the Spirit working in the Word and in the world, that gift without which we would not know God in the way that we do, without which we would not be in Christ, united with him, new creations, part of his body. And today, we also give thanks for the diversity of the body of Christ. I guess that's the second point. I had two bolded things back to back. We give thanks for the diversity of the body of Christ. Now, diversity, of course, these days has connotations, political and social overtones. It's been turned into kind of a social package that means certain things in the world and is a bit out of vogue at the moment, at least in corporate and political America. But Scripture shows us that diversity was God's idea. Differences between us were God's idea. In creation, we see the plants and the animals and all of their crazy differences. You just look up the duck-billed platypus. That is creaturely diversity. It sweats milk. It's got one tube and sweats milk. There you go. Thank you, Alex. I think you're ready for Jeopardy. I love thinking about the plants and animals and how creation shows God's just abundant creativity and the beauty of all the variety of the world. That we think about the command for humanity to go forth, to multiply, to spread out over the face of the earth. Differences come from that. You live in a certain climate, you're going to adapt to that climate, right? The Tower of Babel, you know that story where humanity wanted to play God to dominate. We are going to be one in a way that dominates, it makes us like God. And God said, nope, sorry. Here you're going to speak a bunch of languages and now you got to go out into all the corners of the world. And then here again on Pentecost, the blessing of the languages. not a curse on the languages, but the blessing on the languages, the nations, the cultures. They are not asked to learn a dominant language. As we get further in Acts and the controversy over circumcision, we learn that new believers are also not asked to convert to a particular culture in order to be saved. If we fast forward to Revelation, we see the gifts of the nations, the cultures, the tribes, the languages. All of these will be offered to the Lord of all as true worship. I was thinking about this, all the different languages, ones we know of, ones we don't, there before the throne. I'm like, man, English is not going to be the main language. That's okay. We get to bring that, but ooh, we're going to be outnumbered. Going to wrestle with that a bit. The thing is, we live in a world, as I mentioned, shaped by colonialism, and colonialism gets this totally backwards. So many languages and cultures that have been erased in the name of a European-shaped Christ, in the name of power and dominance, and falsely equating my culture with Christ. Whenever one culture or nation begins to believe they're superior, or that acts of violence or domination or cruelty against other nations, cultures, people groups are justified in the name of Christ, whenever that pops up, there is indeed a spiritual reality behind it, but it is not the Holy Spirit. It is not. When the Spirit shows up, the walls that separate humanity and people groups, they fall down. Human power dynamics are upended. The last are first, and the first are last. I'm going to tell a story I've told before, but I tell it again because I think it's such a good example for us of how the Spirit works to erase human barriers, and humans work to build them back up again. It's the story of the Azusa Street Revival that began in the early 1900s and was the catalyst for the modern Pentecostal movement. And Pentecostalism, as you might know, is the fastest growing denomination worldwide, even today. Well, that revival started with the ministry of William Seymour, an African-American holiness preacher and the son of freed slaves. He started preaching, and man, the Spirit showed up in ways they didn't anticipate. Whoosh! People were repenting, worshiping, just flocking to this thing that was happening. And from the very start of this revival, when the Holy Spirit showed up, human power dynamics were upended. It reached those who were poor. It was intentionally interracial, racially integrated services, radical at the time. Leadership of both black and white folks. It also empowered women to preach as well as men. And in those early years, people marveled how by the Spirit, the color line was washed away in the blood. When the Spirit shows up, human walls fall down. Thanks be to God. And then human beings try to put them back up again. The Azusa Street Revivals welcomed a range of worship styles, including the loud and joyful worship common in the black community. Worship wars are nothing new. Some of the white folks, white leaders, got uncomfortable and pulled away. Ooh, that's too much. Culture. And they even started denigrating the revival meetings in racist terms. The secular press also attacked the movement because it was integrating black and white. And so, within a few years, just a few years, as the Pentecostal movement spread, it began to split among racial lines. And in 1948, when leaders came together to form the Pentecostal Fellowship of North America, there was not one single predominantly black Pentecostal denomination invited to join. The thing is, the racial and cultural and ethnic class barriers present among us today did not come out of nowhere. There's history, there's culture, there's language, there's things done and left undone. The powers and principalities want to keep their stranglehold on hearts and lives, even when God's Word and Holy Spirit are speaking clearly. William J. Seymour himself came to believe that the clearest evidence of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues, but a community in which racial barriers dissolved. I really think that is something only the Lord can do. And that is where the Holy Spirit will lead us if we dare to follow, to the opposite of Babel. Not the dominance of one culture or gender or language or race, not the erasure of difference either, but the transcending of it, and in fact, the blessing of it. the sanctifying of it. In Pentecost, just as they were gathered in, they weren't all given to speak Aramaic and that everyone understands Aramaic and we're off to the races, but speaking the heart languages, the mother tongues of those gathered from every point in the compass. That's the new community, the radical new order of the kingdom. And only the Holy Spirit can do it. But the Holy Spirit can do it. So back to the DR for a minute, the Dominican Republic. On my second attempt to fly home, I tell you, all my great conversations were on this extra day. On my second attempt, a friend of a friend drove me to the airport, a young woman named Nicole. She'd also picked me up on the first day when I was too overwhelmed to be a good conversationalist, especially in Spanish. But that last day, as I was a little more comfortable, we could talk a bit. And she shared with me about the ministry she works for, named Makarios. It's the ministry that my friend Adrian had worked for, my friend who's the reason I went to the DR in the first place. Now, Makarios is a whole-person Christian ministry in the DR. There's education, there's, you know, social work. Nicole's basically a social worker in the name of Jesus. As we talked, Nicole kept mentioning something about a flood. And as I put the pieces together, I realized that region that that ministry was in had just a month before experienced a devastating flood that I didn't know about, just a few miles from where we were. The ministry building was devastated. There were many people just trying to put pieces of their lives back together, just right there. And here, my biggest problem of the day was wondering whether my flight back to Miami would happen. Well, when we got to the airport, Nicole asked if we could pray together. She wanted to pray for my flight. And so we sat there on the curb. It was not O'Hare, so we weren't getting pushed along. And we prayed. And Nicole prayed earnestly for me and for my flight in Spanish. And she spoke too quickly for me to understand. But I felt the Holy Spirit in her prayer. And then I prayed for her in English and for Makarios, for the people they minister to. And in that moment, Nicole and I were truly one in the Spirit. I could feel it. Her burdens were mine, and mine were hers. The truly good news of this day is we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are one with each other and with believers around the world. Believers in Iran, believers in Ukraine, believers in Israel and Palestine, believers in the DR. We are one with those who speak other languages, those who are in prison, those who are well off, and those who are in need. We are one in the Spirit. That's a very good gift. Only God can do something like that. As I close, I want to take time to pray together for the empowering of the Holy Spirit here at Redeemer, to give great thanks for this gift, to ask God for what God wants to do in our midst, to ask God to stir up the gifts of the body. That's another area of that unity and diversity, isn't it? That we need each other, to stir it up. Now, this is a sobering thing, praying for the Spirit, because he might come like a whoosh. He might come like a gentle voice, but he might come like a whoosh, and we can't control it. So I invite you, as you dare in faith, to open your hands and to pray with me for the grace to trust and the grace to receive. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that you are so much bigger than we can take in, and yet speak to us in ways that are meaningful just to us. Pour out the gifts of your Spirit here at Church of the Redeemer. Pour out your gifts, Lord. Your gifts of repentance and holiness. Your gifts of truth and speaking good news. Your gifts of language and hospitality. Most of all, pour out in our hearts your love Fill us to overflowing. May your love drive out all those bits of fear, all the things that keep us bound. Drive them out, O Lord. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out into our hearts, into the world, into the church. Make us one as you are one, we pray. And in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.